Welcome to Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. I am Gemma Serenity Gorokov, your host, and today we have Christine Malek. She is a sassy coach, and she will tell you more about that. Thank you so much for joining us, Christine. How are you today?
Thank you, Gemma. I am awesome. I am sassy. I'm always sassy for the most 99% of the time, sassy.
That's so cool.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, Christine, can you please introduce yourself for all the people who do not know you? I want a couple of things. What does sassy mean? That's the first thing I want to know. And then can you please tell us a little bit about your story with an emphasis on the kind of abuse you overcame in your life?
Yes. So my name is Christine Malek. I am the SASSY coach. It's basically a self-relationship coach. SASSY is an acronym. It stands for strong, assertive, smart, sexy, and independent. I believe that every woman has that very essence within her. Women of abuse, like you and I, Gemma, that sassy gets squashed. You can call it your intuition, your gut. I called it sassy. It gets squashed and almost extinguished. And in my sassy coaching, and I do several different types of coaching, but in that coaching, I help that woman fan her own flames. I don't fan them. I help her fan those flames to find and reignite her sassy again. As for the abuse, yeah, I went through a lot. Every form of abuse possible. It started when I found out in my 30s that I was molested by a family member till I was 4 or 5 years old. I was raped by an uncle that was only a year older than me. Because of all that abuse that I endured, I didn't know any better. I thought sex was associated with love. So I put myself in situations ever since I hit puberty and beyond. I have been gang raped many times. I have been raped many times. I have been abducted 3 times, and one of them was extreme. It was an extreme abduction. He held me for like 4 or 5 days, tied up, drugged, the whole nine yards. That was pretty intense. That one was intense. From there, because I still didn't know any better, and the only thing I knew was abuse, I met my first husband. We have 3 beautiful children with, but he and I divorced after almost 20 years of marriage. Didn't realize till later in my journey that he was a narcissist. Didn't realize till well later in my 50s, my early 50s, and I'm now 59 this year, that my father is an extreme narcissist. He should probably be diagnosed with NPD. My first husband and I split. I had about 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years, that I went completely wild, completely crazy. I am a recovering drug addict, a recovering alcoholic. I am clean and sober as of this year, 2024. I will be clean and sober for 8 years. In between there, just partied like crazy, a lot of really bad things. I put myself in situations that I should never have put myself in. From there, I met my second husband, and that's where a lot of it just really culminated. The abuse was... When we say abuse, we always associate immediately physical abuse. And I suffered every physical abuse possible from this man. I always had black eyes. I had bruises all over my body, hair pulled out in clumps, bite marks. He actually, because he, I guess, wanted to, beat me with a rubber mallet so bad that he broke my wrist and cracked 3 of my ribs. And in 2015, he actually shot me in the back of the head. Now I get 2 questions with that, you know, take medical attention and were you still alive? And hopefully we can get to the answer to those questions. Excuse me. But the abuse that I suffered from this man was not just the physical. There was the mental, the spiritual, the financial, the economic, I mean, all the abuses, the verbal, the sexual, the psychological was probably, he should probably be diagnosed with NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. But because only a medical professional can diagnose that, it's just my guess. I refer to him lovingly as the narcissistic psychopath or the psychopathic narcissist because he has qualities and traits of both, and not in a good way. After almost 7 years, and I was even with him after I got shot in the head. Like I said, we met in 2011, married in 2012. He shot me in the back of the head in 2015. I went through almost a year in and out of the hospital and through 2016 and 2017. I had 4 surgeries, 15 procedures. And it wasn't until 2018 that I finally found the nerve and the courage enough to say, enough is enough. And I said, there's the door, goodbye. But I was strong enough. I know you're going to ask me one of the questions is when my defining moment was. It was actually in 2015. The next morning after he shot me in the head, I looked in the mirror, saw the dried blood, the empty, you know, the hair was missing because it was point blank that he shot me. Sorry, the dogs, are going a little crazy. It was the next morning when I saw that woman and I didn't recognize her and I didn't like what I saw. And that was the point where I said, enough is enough. I cannot take this anymore. There's got to be a better life. There's got to be and I was in my mid to late 40s when this happened. So I found the strength somewhere, and I really don't, to be honest with you, and I will tell this to the day I pass, I don't know where that strength came from, but it was there, and it was enough to get me through those next couple of days, the next couple of months, the next couple of years, of course, you know, 16, 17, in and out of the hospital. And what kept me going throughout that time was I went to find online quotes, something that I could look at every single day that would help fan my sassy. Now, the person I was before the second marriage, my kids will tell you that, you know, I was the one involved with Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and school and PTA and never quiet, that I was always that sassy woman. And then this man entered my life and took everything away from me. My dignity, my self-respect, I had trust issues, everything. He took everything. So I needed to find a way to get back to who I was. Only I didn't realize that I would never go back to who I was, that I would become the better version of who I am today.
This is huge, Christine. This is really, really huge. Wow.
I know.
I'm having finally in your late 40s found your connection with your divinity. Let's put it that way.
Thank
you. Your own connection with your divinity to actually claim back what is your life and not that, let's call it a shit show, okay? It's really
That's what, like I said, those two questions is, you know, one, did you seek medical attention? And two, how are you still alive? To answer the first question, no, there was never any medical attention sought, okay? Because of the type of abuse and all those types of abuses that I endured with him, going to anybody, police, you know, the hospital, that just was a huge no-no. Because of everything, I somewhat equate it to the Stockholm syndrome. You really start to believe everything that he tells you. The lies that you're no good, that, you know, nobody else will want you. I kept hearing the B word consistently day in and day out. He'd scream it at the TV. He'd scream it at me. You start to believe those things and you start to doubt yourself and your abilities. So going to the hospital was not an issue. Now, throughout this almost 7 years of marriage with this man, I had attempted suicide 3 times. That's how bad it was. Okay. But I'm still here. So, and it wasn't until I started on my journey and my healing journey that I realized that I am divinely protected, plain and simple, because not only did I attempt suicide 3 times with that marriage, because of all those abuses that I endured my whole life, I had attempted suicide the first time being at 16. Okay. I'm alive for a reason. And I discovered what that reason was about 3 years ago, that this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help other women. I have the podcast, Talking Sassy About Abuse, Amplifying Women's Voices. I'm actually starting a nonprofit to be able to help women that, because I talk to these women every single day, where they, because of the abuse and not the physical abuse, but the psychological abuse, we lose family. We lose connection with friends, family. And I was the same way. I had 3 grown children that I couldn't go to. They were in their early 20s, late teens and early 20s when this happened. I had lost my mom while I was married to this man. Didn't know that she had passed. Didn't know that she was in the hospital because he alienated me from everybody. Okay. Lost my mom. Couldn't go to the funeral, couldn't say my goodbyes, couldn't do any of that. And for the nonprofit, I talked to these women that because they're alienated, they lose their friends, they lose their family. And like I said, I was the same way. Going to a shelter is not always conducive for their situation. The number one, according to the domestic violence awareness people, but the number one mental health issue that women of abuse, whatever that type of abuse is, suffer. And you'll never believe what this is. You would think depression and suicidal tendencies, and yes, all that is in there. But the number one issue that women, the health issue that they endure is homelessness. Because they're faced with 2 options, because they've lost their family, shelters are full, shelters give excuses. They finally left this abusive person, okay? And you and I, we talk women in general because they're abused more than men. So they're faced with, do I live in my car or do I stay with the abuse? They tend to leave and stay gone. Or they leave and go, well, you know, this really sucks. So let me go back to at least I know what to expect. Maybe, yes, I'm walking on, I say we don't walk on eggshells. We walk on shards of glass, okay? But at least I know where the shards of glass are when I'm in that situation. So the nonprofit is to help those women go from to be able to say, okay, I know where to go. My vision is to have buildings all across the country, eventually all across the world, where women can go, okay, I'm done. Because you and I both know that even throughout those 7 years and being shot in the head in 2015, that would have been enough for what normal people out there think, okay, well, why didn't you leave then? Okay, well, I wasn't ready. Every woman has their moment of, yes, this happened. And you and I said it earlier before the recording that sometimes it's a moment that you decide right then and there, or sometimes it takes years, months and years before we are. I know a woman, a very good friend of mine. She was in this extremely non-physical abusive relationship, and it took her 5 years to gather funds, to get things together for her children, all those things, to go out and get a job and, you know, and keep things hidden. 5 years it took, but she had a plan. She knew from the day that she said, that's it, I'm done, no more. She worked her plan till she was able to get out. And most women are like that. Most women, excuse me, there are quite a few women out there that just go, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I was in that situation. I had, like I said, I lost my family, didn't talk to my kids. The embarrassment of that this happens, which is what you and I try and do. We pray, we speak loud about this. We break the stigma of that abuse is unacceptable, plain and simple. So we speak loud about it. But there are still women out there that are that still feel hidden and they don't have their voice yet. And it's women like you and I that give them that voice to be able to say, you do it on your podcast, I do it on mine, to let them know these are the things we went through. These are the things that are available. My coaching is available. The nonprofit will be available so that she can say, okay, you know what? I'm done. What do I need to do to start getting things together for when I am, even though I'm done and I'm at that breaking point, I'm done. Where's that? It's her choice and her decision when she says, okay, I'm ready to go. And then I want her to have that place where she can come in and finally go, because we haven't been able to take a breath in months, years, you know, so that they have a place that they can go, okay, let me get the help that I need. There's childcare available. There's food. There's a full run, you know, cafeteria and kitchen that they can start healing, that it doesn't take them years to heal. They can get the coaching. It'll be a full-blown Sassy Academy coaching that they at 12 weeks, and they can come and go. It's not a prison. You know, if they have an outside job, great. But every single woman and man in that building, and we're calling it the Sassy Village, will contribute to the welfare of that building and the people inside. Almost completely self-sufficient. Almost. That's the vision.
That is gorgeous. I mean, keep that vision and it has appears. That's a magic I discovered over and over again. When you have that vision, you hold it as being true. It has not happened yet. It does not matter.
Right.
Really not. You keep that vision alive. And before you know it, something happens. And it's a good break you were looking for. And it is the person you were manifesting. And it is the land or the house or the something that you wanted to have for so long. And if sometimes so long, sometimes just a few hours or a few days are enough to actually bring it to pass. You know, when I left my first abusive relationship, I was a kid. I mean, at 17 years old, I found him. At 23 years old, I left. But actually, for the last 2 years before I left my first one, I have my woman pastor. She was a woman of God. It was still pretty new to have a woman in that kind of position, in that specific branch of Christianity. And she was 10 years older than me, and she was fighting every fiber of her body against domestic violence, against abuse of any kind. And every time I was going to her house when I was walking out the dog, and she was living like a few blocks away from me, I was walking to her house, stopping by her. She was always welcoming me. I was telling her what I was going through in real time. And she gave me always that same feedback. But for 2 years, I was really, really slow to understand. And she was always giving me that same feedback. You are living domestic violence. That is what is going on in your life. It is called domestic violence. There are options, but nobody can live instead of you. You have to make that decision. You have to take the first step out. And she kept on telling me, okay, the day you are ready, you have a bed and a plate and a shower in my home. Are you hearing me? And I said, yes, thank you very much, but I'm going back home right now. You have the right to go. She couldn't stop me from that because I had the right to go back to the life I did choose at that moment in time during my fresh adult years. And one day, something struck me. I heard someone tell, no, you do not have the right to be happy. You have the duty to be happy. Woo! But I cannot definitely be happy with that man. This is just impossible. Okay, I'm out. Boom, it was like Christian shift. Okay, I'm out. Called my friend. I'm out. Can you just pick me up? Sure. Gather all your stuff, all you can. Gather your baby. I pick you up. Half an hour, I'm here. It was true. She was there on a call. And she came. And she picked me up and my baby. I felt unrooted. I did not understand what I was doing. She was a very strong and assertive woman type of character. Like Wonder Woman in flesh. Amazing. And she kept me at her home for about 5 months. That's quite a long time.
Yes.
And then she asked me to find something else. And I understood. And I called my parents finally after years, because I was, of course, segregated from my parents, like we all are. Called them, hey, can I move back in with my baby? I mean, he's 3 years old, maybe. And they were like, whoa, sure, come on in. They kept me 9 months. And then I found my second abusive relationship, but it started so good. You know how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
And he was so amazing. You know how that goes. I mean, on certain plane, he was. On certain plane, he was. Not all.
That's how my second was. Came in, you know, like the knight in shining armor, and everything was beautiful and roses, although I didn't realize I had tar colored glasses on. I was seeing through a different lens.
I remember that is probably just the most beautiful memory I have from that man. It was probably like 2 weeks into the relationship. Like it was super, super nude. So very, very much like a pink glass rose. And I was just, I had my head on his lap and he was just caressing my hair. And he was asking me, how can you be so perfect? I mean, when you experience that, it's like, and you just melt. You just melt. However, that's a good 15 minutes. It's not a good 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, I prefer not to do that way, Sally. So, because then it's like, how can you be so? Yeah, not perfect anymore.
Well, you know, I equate it to, and I've said this many times, that because most people that have never experienced any type of abuse really do not understand what we go through.
You know,
the first time you got smacked, why didn't you leave? Well, they don't understand that. And they don't understand that you actually do fall in love with this man. Okay. Especially if he's narcissistic, because the love bombing is just, oh yeah, gifts all the time. Like every day mine brought me something. You know, I equate it to a bell. Okay. The bell starts down like this and then eventually goes up. Okay. Until you finally have that tip. Now I'm originally from Pennsylvania, so I will reference the Liberty Bell. Right. But the bell and the curve of the bell doesn't start to go up till you hit quite a ways in there. Okay. Till it really starts to curve all the way up. So you have that bottom part where there's little things that happen. Okay, you know, and you make excuses, okay? That's the type of person I was. And I find that a lot of women do this. We make excuses. Okay, well, maybe he had a bad day at work. Maybe somebody cut him off in traffic. Maybe he had a near accident. He didn't sleep well. You know, I kept him up too late. Or, you know, you make excuses. And you find that you fall in love with this man. It is a false love. It is a masked love that he wants you to see. But it's not until, you know, and the abuse, for me, the physical abuse did not happen immediately. So the curve started, you know, with all those little things here and there, you know, the yelling, the screaming, the verbal abuse. Now, I never, and I didn't realize this till well after I left this man, that there was never, I'm sorry. Yes, I got gifts. Yes, I had dinner made for me. Yes, I was treated to this, or we went out here, we did this, we did that. But never the words, I'm sorry. And if he did say, I'm sorry, it followed with a, but you started this, or I'm sorry that happened to you. The situation, he was sorry for the situation, not for his own actions. Okay. But we don't realize this as we're going through. Excuse me. So it's like that curve of the bell. Okay. And it's not till it really starts to ramp up. And then when it ramps high. And that's what happened in my situation. But a lot of women don't realize that it is love bombing. It is a false love. And it doesn't always start physical. And we tend to, being nurturing women that we are, we think we can help them. We think we can change. We think we can make a difference. Probably the best advice I could ever give, and it's two things of advice that I say. One, trust your gut. It is there for a reason. I call it sassy. Call it your gut. Call it your instinct. Women have it. Trust your gut. If it is screaming at you to stay away from this relationship, walk away. It's not the right one. You never want to be in this situation. I do not ever want to see anyone. My final goal is for my legacy, my life, when I'm on my deathbed saying goodbye, that I want abuse to be ended, plain and simple. That's where I want to be. I want it ended. But the second bit of advice that I can give women out there that are listening is, I say there are three words in the English language that are so hard to say. And they are, I need help. And that is so hard for women of abuse to say.
Ooh, that's so creepy. That is so cool.
But when we say it, okay, when we actually surrender to the fact that we can't fix us, we can't fix the situation, we can't be that nurturing mom that we are meant to be with this person anymore. And we have to say, it is so hard. It is so hard to say those words. But when you say them, and that's one of the other things that I want to teach, is if you have to go to a friend that has never experienced abuse and you say, I need help, that woman, just like that woman that was on her porch every day waiting for you, okay, that friend, that mother, that, you know, I can't tell you how many times women have said that they've gone to family and family has said, well, you made your bed, you got to lie in it. No. No, we need to, as a society, we need to say, come on, sister, I got you. Let's go. Hop in the truck, hop in my car. Let's go. We'll go get some coffee. Let's have a conversation. Tell me what's going on. How can I help you? And for the most part, the only thing as a friend, whatever, sister, whatever it happens to be, mother, just listen. Let her, the woman that is experiencing abuse, just let her expel all that negative and all that toxicity that she has been dealing with for however long it is. Because when we can release that, and you just said that, Gemma, that when we can release that, it's in our time, when we know it's the right time, we can then start healing. And that's what I teach. That's what I talk about on my podcast. Oh, you're muted. You're muted. There you go. Okay.
Thank you so much, Christine. So I just did, I just Googled Talking Sassy About Abuse podcast, and yours came first. So if you want to go, you just go with Talking Sassy About Abuse. Buzzsprout.com. That's one of the many podcast platforms out there. it just works. Okay. And I know that when you go there, in the description, you have all the link of Christine testing. Now that's for testing. I just created
it. Yes. Yes. Everything is there. You can book a call with me, a free consultation. You can take a look at my Facebook page, my LinkedIn. Everything is there. Yes.
Exactly. And otherwise, of course, description of this episode. I'm reproducing all of that to make sure to have many other places to find you, to really connect with the Sassy Village. How amazing is that vision?
Thank you.
How amazing. You are welcome anytime. If you want to come back again, keep us up to date with the creation of your vision. It's too important to let go and to forget. That happens. It is done now.
Thank you, Gemma. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you.